This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
Better late than never.
Yeah.
That's what I say. Yeah. Hey, listen, 4 minutes, we'll go 4 minutes over. How about that?
Okay.
Welcome to The Gardening Show. Master Gardener Bob Harris, how do you do?
Good. How about you, Igor?
I'm all right. And we are, of course, hoping that you're all right and you pick up that phone and you give us a call if you have a question today.
Yeah.
It's 814-368-WESB. That's 814-368-9372. Any question for Bob, Master Gardener, and he will... hopefully give you the answer that you need.
Hopefully, yes.
Hopefully, all right. We have one right now. You want to go to the phone?
Yeah, you bet.
Okay. And then we'll get into today's topic as well. Hi, good morning. You're on The Gardening Show.
Yes. I was wondering, I have a little strip of ground where I put some creeping phlox, left space, so that, you know, they can spread.
Okay.
There's a lot of moss growing in between. Is this something to be concerned about?
Yeah, it can be, because that'll block off the moss or the phlox spreading. So, yeah, if you can rake it out of there or pull it out of there whenever you get a chance is a real good idea. And then it's telling me moss is what we call an opportunistic plant. It's not necessarily a plant that likes to grow where there's acidic soil. It grows where nothing else can grow. So it's telling me your soil is probably low in fertility. So if you get that moss out of there, add a little fertilizer to that area, that will encourage the phlox to grow in that direction then.
Okay.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot for the call. Hopefully that helps.
Yeah, that creeping phlox, wonderful, wonderful plant.
Have a great weekend.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, there you have it.
Yeah.
What are we talking about today, Bob?
I'm going to talk about pruning, but I want to start out with a few little other facts here. I guess we got coming up Monday a possible 2 inches of rain.
Oh, dear.
No, that's good for a gardener. A couple reasons.
I thought I heard 2 inches. I'm like, is it a flood? No.
No.
I don't know.
We need the rain.
2 inches of rain equals, like, you know, 18 feet of snow, whatever the math is.
Yeah.
I don't know.
all our lawns are turning a bit brown, so that 2 inches of rain will be a nice relief. But also, that's a great opportunity to pull weeds after that rain. All that water will loosen up the soil, make it much easier to pull those weeds, roots and all. When the soil is warm and dry, those roots are really steadfast. And when you pull a weed, most of the time you break it off and the roots remain there and it comes right back. So that 2 inches of rain can be a blessing that then we have a few days that we can go out there in the garden and do some serious weeding. Another thing, a lot of our fruits are starting to produce squash, melons, cucumbers that creep along the ground. It's a good idea there to do a couple things. Is wherever that fruit starts to develop, put something underneath it. A piece of carpet, some mulch, so it's not in contact with the soil. There's a lot of pathogens, we call it, but that's funguses, bacterias, but also little creatures like slugs and mice and so on can get underneath that and start to do some damage. So if we put a little padding underneath there, we can stop some of that damage from occurring. So it's a good idea underneath the squash, the melons, the cucumbers, anything that's laying on the ground. Straw is another good one besides carpet or anything like that to keep it from having contact with the soil. Another thing to look for on some of those vining crops is there's going to be some moss flying around your yard now. Some of those can be harmful to your plants. So it's a good idea to, once in a while, especially on your squash plants, lift a leaf and look underneath the leaf. And if you see a colored little jelly-like eggs, they're small, you know, probably an eighth inch in diameter, little round balls. Try to wipe them off. That could be squash vine borer, which then they'll hatch. They'll crawl to the base of the plant somewhere and tunnel in, and then all of a sudden start doing a lot of damage to your squash. So it's a good idea to when you're out there watering, to lift a few leaves here and there and look for eggs. And if you see some, then try to, again, rub them off and be prepared for seeing other damage that you can correct, you know, in time. Most of the time you can. Another thing to check for is tomatoes. If your tomato plant has been growing real well and has got a lot of fruit on it, they're all green, and you can't wait for some ripe tomatoes, it's a good idea to what we call top your tomato plants. Pinch off the growing tips, the very top of the plant, even the way out on the sides. Pinch off that. That'll slow up the growth, because a lot of that growth is going into that tip. If we pinch that off, then we can start to mature the tomatoes or the fruit on the rest of the plant. And, of course, the ripening will occur much faster. Otherwise, the plant just keeps going through a growth spurt, especially for some of us that may have added a little too much fertilizer. You know, it's a fine line. We like to fertilize our tomato plants, and we should. But if we add a little bit too much, it'll put them into the growth spurt, and they'll just keep growing rather than flowering and producing and maturing the fruit. So sometimes it's a good idea to pinch off them growth tips so that plant can start to ripen up for you. Also, with container plants, we have container plants around, and they're getting real hard to water now. It may be a good idea to add some of that Liquid Dawn detergent. That the Liquid Dawn detergent helps preserve the moisture. It forms a film around every drop of water, and it stays in the soil longer till the plant really needs it. And that can cut our watering cycle way, way down.
What do you mean by it's hard to water them?
Oh, in this hot, dry period, we may water and it evaporates so quickly that we end up watering sometimes every day, sometimes 2-3 times a day.
I thought you meant like it doesn't take the water anymore.
Oh.
Because sometimes that's what I find, like, well, I guess it probably just didn't need water.
Oh, that could be, or it can be so dry that when you pour the water in there,
it doesn't soak in.
It doesn't soak in. It just goes straight through the pot.
Yeah.
So if you do have that feeling going on, you know, you may have to water a little more until it starts to puddle on top. Sometimes dry soil does drain too well. So adding that Liquid Dawn without phosphorus in it can help preserve some of that moisture, and then we're not out there watering more than once a day, or maybe even 2 or 3 times a day.
Without phosphorus.
Without phosphorus, so, yeah.
Do they have that in big, you know, right on the,
yeah,
the label?
Right on the label it will.
Without phosphorus.
Yeah, phosphorus is a fertilizer that is non-soluble. It means it doesn't break down with water and wash away like nitrogen and potassium can.
Wow.
Phosphorus can build up in the soil. So eventually it'll cause a lot of damage from that buildup. So we want the Liquid Dawn dish soap with no phosphorus in it.
Wow. There you go. We have a message on Facebook.
Oh, all right.
Joe says, good morning, Bob. Tim L says hello. Do you know Tim?
Yep, I do.
We are waiting for we are weightlifting trophies. What? Oh, we're waiting for weightlifting trophies. But seriously, folks, what can I put on my pear and apple trees for fertilizer now to help the growth?
Oh, any fertilizer. I like to do a basic 10-10-10 on the fruit trees. That's what we call a no-mistake fertilizer. It has equal amounts of all the different ingredients in it so that the plant can decide what it wants and what it needs, and it'll extract that from the soil. So a good 10-10-10 dry fertilizer, sprinkle it around, water it in if there's no rain, and that'll keep your tree real healthy. Okay. And nice to hear from you, Jim and Tim.
Joe.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Joe. Joe, yeah.
We have our phone lines open, and of course, Facebook Live that came in there. So you could comment on Facebook Live. That's facebook.com/WESB1075. And of course, our good old fashioned phone lines are open, 814-368-9372. And I still have to check our garden at WESB.com email and see if we have any emails there. Actually, you know what? You had one at the very end of the show last week.
Wondering if there's spray to keep deer, rabbit, and chewing the leaves and blossoms of my hostas, Rose of Sharon, lilies, etc. Yeah, all those flowers are just loaded with sugar. And so a lot of those creatures love that. Yeah, there are a lot of different products out there. You know, I always think of one called Deer Off. There's another one, Deer Away. Then there's some that are just Rodent Away. Most of them have a rotten egg ingredient in them, and that deters those animals. But the secret to that is they have to be reapplied after a hard rain or or if you wash it off from just watering. So that it's real important that they be reapplied. And then even more important that you buy two different types of product. And you want to change up because the deer will become accustomed to the one product that you put on there, and eventually they'll come back and they'll just ignore that smell or that taste and start chewing again. So you have to switch up once a month, use one kind of product. The next month, use another kind of product.
Is that the same with rabbits too, or just deer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well. All of those animals. And that'll keep them confused. And hopefully that will keep them away from that plant. There's even sometimes you can find a hot pepper spray. And, of course, that will deter them. I always kind of shy away from that one because I've made the mistakes of using the hot pepper spray or cayenne pepper spray. It won't bother birds, but it does bother all mammals. If you spray it in the wind, the wind will blow it back in your face.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, just like getting maced.
Oh.
So I've learned my lesson the hard way with that one, so I just always forget that one there because I know I'd make the mistake again.
How often have you been maced, Bob?
Oh, a couple times.
What?
Yeah.
That's for another show.
Once by the spray and once by my daughter at her and her friends decided. I'm telling a story now. Her and her friends decided to fry a bunch of peppers out of the garden, and they weren't paying attention, and they overcooked them and just maced the whole house that way.
Oh, okay, yeah. So you got pepper sprayed.
Yeah.
Pepper misted.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
It was a neat lesson for all of us.
Neat.
Yeah.
Sure. That's the word. We'll be right back with more Gardening Show with Master Gardener Bob Harris in 30 seconds. Hang out. It's B107.5 FM.
If you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware. Stay comfortable this summer with a room air conditioner from Worth Smith. Get them while they last. Doing some drainage work? You'll find culvert pipes 6-inch to 48 in 20-foot lengths. Lots of wheelbarrows in stock, too. Doing some camping? Visit their new RV parts department for your quick repairs. There's a big supply of canopies in stock, too. And don't forget to fill up your propane tanks. If you need it for summer, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
Welcome back to the Gardening Show. WESB, 75 years of serving Bradford. B107.5 FM. And what else is on your notes to talk about today?
Okay, I brought in this stick here.
I was wondering what that's all about. You have a large, what is that?
This is from an arborvitae or a cedar tree.
Oh, wow.
But it's big enough to show. Are we on?
Yeah, we're on Facebook Live. I just have the email up right here.
Oh, okay.
There.
So everyone can see.
Yeah.
And just imagine this is a branch, which it was a branch. This tree was destroyed by a worm that gets under the bark and starts to tunnel all through and kills off the plant.
Is that what all those little holes are?
Yeah,
there?
Wow. Exactly.
Okay.
But it's a good example to show you, you know, the branches coming out of the main stem here and there when I'm talking about pruning. So imagine that towards Igor is the center of the plant. So when I'm pruning, I really don't want to prune off too many branches going to the center of the plant. That keeps it full in the center. But if it's already full to where you can't see through it, then it might be a good idea to take off some of those branches pointing to the center, leaving the branches pointing away from the center so it gets wider to grow. Now, the opposite can be, if you want to keep the plant narrow, then the branches that are pointing out, we prune off, leave the branches that are pointing in towards the center on. That way we can control the growth in any direction by pruning.
Wow.
If we want it to just grow straight up, of course, we would prune off the lower branches, leave the upper branches. If we want the whole shrub to become thicker in every direction, all we have to do is trim off the very tips of the branches, the very end of the branch. We call that the growing tip. That's full of a hormone called auxin, and that signals that auxin controls all the growth habit. So if we take off that tip, now that auxin goes throughout the plant, and so the plant starts to branch everywhere instead of just growing out that tip, which can become too long and narrow. I hope I explained that well enough.
Yeah, so if you want it to grow everywhere, like just to, and that's what I used to do. You're talking about arborvitae, like the shrubs,
yeah,
too, even that works out. Yeah, well, I was always just, you know, trimming with a, you know, just a trimmer, like, yep, an electric trimmer.
Yeah.
Just brushing it, you know, to cut that new growth that's growing towards,
yeah,
you know, outward.
Yeah.
Because I want it to grow up, but I also wanted it to grow wide.
Okay.
And not necessarily forward, you know.
Okay.
You know, there's a, yep, fence that needs to stay behind. So I trim the front and the back of it.
Okay.
And, yeah, so that does that help? That helps with the tallness.
Yes.
Correct?
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
as long as you didn't trim too much off the top.
No, right.
Okay.
Yeah. So, because, yeah, we want, but now what if you just leave it though? If you want it to grow all directions, wouldn't you just leave it? Instead of pruning at all?
No, because most plants, by the way, the sun comes up in the east, sets in the west, will grow more in those directions and not the north and south.
I see.
So we have to trim a little bit more in the east and west because that's where a lot of the growth is occurring. And we want to fill out the north and the south too, so we have to leave those parts alone. I know pruning can become complicated, but there's just a few basic rules, you know, to control the growth the way you want the plant to grow. So if it's growing vigorously one way, you prune off just those tips. You won't even notice. I'm talking only like less than a half an inch of that tip off.
Mm.
Just that, we call it an apical bud, that bud that's on the very tip of the branch. That's the apical bud. That's the dominant bud. If we just trim that off or pinch it off even, now we've taken away that dominance, so then it can spread throughout the plant and other areas, and that they can take off growing in that area.
Fantastic. Wow, you are just full of knowledge. And is that why they call you the master gardener? Because the plants, they have to obey? You said,
no.
Obey my order. You grow this way.
I wanted to touch, and I know I mentioned it before.
Too. Huh? And we have a phone call.
Oh, go. Okay, let's do that first.
I knew you wanted to. So.
Yeah.
Hi, The Gardening Show. You're on the air.
Hi, this isn't really a garden question, but Bob's very wise about nature in general. How do you get rid of a flock of pigeons at your bird feeder?
Yeah. There are, you can buy a rubber snake, put it by the bird feeder. You can buy those owls. Some of them are even battery operated where it continues to move. That will help get rid of the pigeons. Other than that, you know, the dead fast real good rule is you just stop feeding all the birds. Pretty soon the pigeons will find another area. Then you can start feeding the birds again.
I tried that.
Did you? And that didn't work for you?
For 2 days I didn't feed anybody. The third day I didn't have pigeons. The fourth day they were back.
Yeah, a couple days is not enough. You're going to have to do it for a few weeks.
They send out scouts, I think.
Yeah, you got to do that to stop feeding the birds. You have to do it for 2 to 3 weeks
to break their
habit. Yeah.
So this is a regular animal feeder. I get animals and birds and everything, but the pigeons will clear out 10 pounds of seed in 10 seconds.
Yeah. Or you just let nature take its course. You keep feeding the birds, and thank you for doing that. And eventually, a hawk's going to notice where all the pigeons are.
Oh.
And then he's going to clean out the pot.
The hawk's been taking my morning doves.
Oh, yeah. Doves and pigeons. He's going to take the easy ones.
I'll try maybe an owl or a rubber snake and see what that does.
Yeah, check that out. See if it works at all. Some people have even made a cutout out of plywood of a coyote or a fox and place that there too. That helps keep some of the birds away. But usually those littler birds, the songbirds, they're a bit smarter than pigeons and doves. And so they'll catch on to what you're doing and they'll just...
Okay, hey, thanks so much.
Okay.
They're smarter, huh?
Yeah, they're smarter. So they catch on and they realize what you're doing and they'll start coming to the feeder right away.
Stephanie had a question about what we were just talking about a little earlier about those pruning tips. Is it true with, what is that,
crepe myrtle.
Crepe myrtle?
Yes.
That's also true with that.
Yeah. Yes, okay. It is. Another thing, though, about pruning, though, like the crepe myrtle, that's, we don't grow those around here. Stephanie must be from south of us.
Okay.
They flower, I think, this time of year. So we don't want to prune necessarily when it's flowering. We want to enjoy the flower. We can, you know, you prune whenever you get a chance. But knowing that if we prune now for something that is trying to bloom right now, that we're also pruning off some flowers. Sometimes we have to, though. Some plants will flower so much. I can remember a Rose of Sharon that I used to have. Used to get so many flowers on it that the dew would collect in all those flowers and the whole plant would bend over. So sometimes we have to thin it out so there's not so many flowers, so it's not causing a overload of weight up high. So good luck with the crepe myrtle. But yes, all those rules apply to the crepe myrtle also.
Okay, great. What else is on the notes today? We have about four. Well, you know what? We're going to go a little over today because we were late.
Yeah.
So
okay, I wanted to remind people of how a plant works, and it's five resources. And this is one of the reasons I'm talking about pruning. Five resources are a plant. All plants, well, just about all living things, grow. Then they have that. Then another resource is defense. So if it's in a defensive mode because it's being attacked by something, it probably is not growing well because the plant has to put all its energy into defense. And then another resource is reproduction. If a plant is trying to reproduce flower, produce fruit or seed, then it's probably slowed up its growth and it may have even slowed up its defense. So it's real susceptible to be attacked. Then another resource is healing. And after an injury has occurred, the plant sends all its resources to healing that area. So then its defense is down, its growth is down, and even its reproduction is down. And then the last resource is just overall vigor, where it's trying to figure out what it needs to do. Does it need to grow now or defend now or heal or reproduce? And so that helps the all over process of the plant. So all plants, just about all living creatures, have those five resources, just like a human. If you get sick, then you're probably not going to go through a growth spurt. If you get an injury, your healing will be slowed up, and vice versa. If you had an injury, then probably your growth if you're in a growth spurt,
yeah,
then your defenses are down in other areas.
Makes sense.
So yeah, try to think of that too. So when you do prune, you have injured the plant, and it's trying to heal, so the growth may slow up for a short period of time. And I'm only talking about a few weeks. It doesn't do it for the whole season. So you prune the plant, and it all of a sudden shows no growth for a while. Then it'll come into a growth spurt once it gets healed to the point where it feels safe again. Unless, of course, it is that time of year where fall's getting close and all growth goes down because the plant is trying to prepare itself for the upcoming winter. And so then that rule is out. But try to remember the five resources: growth, defense, reproduction, healing, and just all over vigor of the plant. And it'll help you to understand a little bit more about what's going on and when you should do it.
Okay, great. Phone lines are open. If again, we're going to go over just a few minutes here.
Okay.
So 814-368-9372 if you'd like to ask Bob a question. And it doesn't even have to be anything that we've touched on today. We even talked about pigeons.
Yeah, we did.
So there you have it.
So one more, and a lot of people give me this question about the new roses on the market, the knockout roses or some of the other roses. They like to be able to, you should be able to see through the plant at all time. They like a lot of air circulation. That holds down on disease and keeps their growth going. So in that case, when we prune a rose, we always want to prune off a branch that is pointing in towards the center of the plant. After it's done flowering, you know, a lot of people don't, where do I prune my rose now that flower is spent? Find a branch that is growing in and prune just below that branch. So now I'm going to force a branch to grow out or to the side rather than in towards the center, making it more crowded in the center, which is not enough sun, so the rose bush can't bloom as well without a lot of sun. And the last thing with the rose is at the where that spent flower is, you trace that stem back. If you're not worried about which way it's going to grow, you just trace that back to a leaf that has five leaves on it, or a stem that has five leaves on it. Not a stem that only has two leaves. That'll be, you have the flower bud, then you come down and there'll maybe be just one leaf sticking out of the stem. And then the next bud, there may be a stem with just two leaves. We want to go below that to a stem where there's five leaves and trim just above that. That's where the next flower bud will occur.
Wow. Cool. Okay.
So that's kind of a simple way of trimming rose bushes. Try not to let a lot of branches grow towards the center. Trim to a point where it's showing a branch that's going to grow outward or to the front or back.
Okay, great. We'll have, we have about 1 minute to go. If you have anything to finish up about the pruning topic today, if not, then we'll save it for next time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Another little hint. I just looked at my notes here. When we're watering, especially through these hot, dry times, I know it's easy to just water the plant, and that can be a big mistake. And I think I talked about this earlier in a show. When it's hot and dry like this has been, it's a good idea to water the whole bed. If we just water around the plant, that dry soil further away will wick that water away from the plant so that plant doesn't get all the water that we just supplied. So it's a good idea once in a while, we don't have to do it every time, once in a while to water the whole bed. That way we get it all wet so water doesn't move. Water will always move from a wet area to a dry area, so it can wick away from a plant and cause some problems there.
All right. Good advice. And with that, we're all out of time.
Oh, all right.
All right. Thank you so much for coming in, Bob. And we'll talk to you next week on The Gardening Show with Master Gardener Bob Harris, sponsored by Worth W. Smith. Have a fantastic weekend, Bob.
You too, Igor.
All right. Thank you.